there's a lot of sin, and God is going to eventually deal with it. But we see he's a gracious God, not willing that any should perish. He is delaying, but the day will come. Right now, this is the day of salvation. Praise the Lord, he hasn't come yet. He could have come when I didn't know him, and I deserved his wrath. But he graciously called me unto himself, and hopefully all of you unto himself.
Welcome to this new week of broadcasts of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Now, Greg, today you embarked on a journey to help us understand the facts and the details of the tribulation. You know, for many people, this is a subject that evokes fear and confusion.
You know, Dave, I have to say these verses in Matthew are some of the most widely misinterpreted verses in all of Scripture. And because of the many incorrect viewpoints on this passage, people are understandably confused or even fearful. But that's not what the Lord intended for those who love him. You see, these verses, although terrible, should not cause we believers to be terrified, but rather they should humble us, and we should be grateful and even more motivated to serve the Lord with our whole lives. Our passage is Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He says he will put a stop to the sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. That's the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist. Even until complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on those who make desolate. Remember what we saw in Matthew 25? Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, as the prophet Daniel spoke of, that's what we're reading here. Let the reader understand. Our passage speaks of this portion of Scripture. The portion of Scripture that happens in Matthew 25 is happening in this 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. Jesus affirms it by mentioning it. So we have a 7-year time of tribulation that begins with a covenant being made by the Antichrist in the beginning of the week. And in the middle, this Antichrist, ultimately, at that point, he breaks that covenant. And at the end of those last 3.5 years, the end of the tribulation, we see that he is ultimately destroyed. We have a 7-year tribulation, but yet in the middle, there are major changes where he breaks the covenant with Israel. Now, I wanted to go into this. I actually had the passages here, but we just don't have the time. For those of you who are with us, when we went through Revelation, we went through this in depth in chapter 12 and in chapter 13. And if you'll remember, the book of Revelation is laid out this way. We have the introduction in Revelation. Then we have Jesus' current present messages to the churches at that time. And then we have in chapters 5 through 11, God's judgment upon those who dwell upon the earth. That's the focus of it. There's a little demonic activity, but not much. And then from chapters 12 to 19, we have a parallel picture of that judgment, his judgment upon Satan, the beast, the false prophet, the harlot of the beast, and the followers of the beast. That's how Revelation is laid out. And when you come to chapter 12, he begins by introducing Israel as the woman and Israel's relationship to Christ and then Israel's relationship to Satan. And we see in Revelation chapter 12 that in the middle of this tribulation that Satan is cast out of heaven, not the first casting out, but finally cast out for good. And he knows his time is short. Read the end of Revelation 12. And he goes and puts all his attention to pursue the woman, to hunt down Israel. But Israel is supernaturally protected, as we see. And he goes to hunt down those who are of the Lord. And if you go to Revelation chapter 12, we see that the Antichrist, the beast, is introduced. And Satan gives him all of his power. And for 3.5 years, 1260 days, for 3.5 years, that's the last half, he goes out and pursues and persecutes. And authority was given for him to overcome the saints. So you see this picture here. In the middle of the tribulation, something happens. He breaks a covenant. And if you go to 2 Thessalonians, you can read this on your own, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it says that the abomination of desolation, this Antichrist will declare himself to be God. And that's in that middle, when Satan gives him all his power, in the middle of that last 7 years, that's when you enter into the great tribulation. You have the tribulation as a whole, but in the middle, that's when things drastically change. So you have a 3.5-year midpoint, Satan is cast out of heaven for good. He pursues Israel. His power and authority is given to the Antichrist, Revelation 13, and he will break his covenant, Daniel chapter 9. We just read that in the middle of the week. He will declare himself to be God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He will enter the most holy place. Revelation 11, we see in verses 1 to 2 that the Gentiles will overrun the sanctuary for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And this last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, we have great tribulation, which ends with ultimately the coming of Christ personally. This great tribulation, if the days were not cut short, no life would have been spared. And this great tribulation is what is spoken of, this tribulation, the day of the Lord. We see God's wrath in the first 3.5 years being poured out very lightly and slightly, but we see it increasing. You know, when someone has birth pains, they begin to be light, but they increase in intensity and pain. And that's what this tribulation is like. And our passage is speaking of the beginning of this portion where it's very light and it's starting, but it's going to get worse. That's what our passage is speaking of. And at the end of this 7-year tribulation, we see that Christ will come personally and he will deliver Israel. This tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. We see that in many passages. And he will deliver Israel personally. He will pour out his wrath on those nations who were persecuting Israel. And then at that point, he will put his feet on the Mount of Olives in the Battle of Armageddon and he will deliver Israel. I mean, I wanted to share a ton more with all of you, so hopefully you can get that Revelation portion. I'd love to, if you want to have a Q&A on this, I would love to sit down and go through these passages. Just not enough time today. But we have what I want you to understand. The tribulation is the 70th week of what God has declared for Israel, and it is to bring an end to sin, to make atonement for sin, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. And the way God does this in this last 7 years of focus on Israel is to allow the nations to pour out their wrath on Israel, and then God pours out his wrath on them, and through that purging, he saves Israel. That's what he's doing in this last week. It's all about Israel, although Gentiles get saved, yes. It's all about Israel, and it's all about the judgment of the nations, the day of God's wrath, the day of the Lord, but the day that he saves his people Israel. God's plan with Israel temporarily discontinued after 69 weeks when they crucified the Messiah. It says after 69, the Messiah is cut off. They rejected him, so he was cut off. And after the temple was destroyed, the plan is stalled at this point. And God's gracious, wonderful wisdom, we see in Romans chapter 11, that through the rejection of the Jews, God brought forth this mystery, which is the salvation of Gentiles in the church. We have this time in which God has moved away in between 69 and 70 weeks. And yet, I believe we see in Scripture that the Lord will come for his church. He will remove them. We will not go through wrath. And then this 7-year tribulation will begin when the Antichrist makes a covenant, Daniel 9:23, and it's going to roll through. And that's what we're seeing in Matthew 24 and 25. So with that in mind, let's just finish up and look at the beginning of this tribulation in our passage in Matthew chapter 24. That's where we get our 7-year tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. Back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many." It's very interesting that Jesus begins his discussion to those Jewish disciples in tribulation by saying, "See to it that no one misleads you." That's the first thing he says. He says, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.'" Speaking directly to the generation that will experience the tribulation, as he speaks to the disciples, we see here, he declares, "See to it that no one misleads." The term "misleads" means to deceive. See to it that no one deceives you. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I'm the Christ.'" The reality is, we'll see in this portion, Christ doesn't come until he comes in great glory. Everyone who says they are the Christ is a liar, you see, because he will come in great glory. "See to it that no one misleads you or deceives you. Many will come in my name." The tribulation period will be a time in which there are a lot of Christ stuff going on. You think of it being all this terrible worldliness, yes, but he says many will come in my name, saying, "I'm the Christ," and will what? Mislead or deceive many. Now, why would people fall for this? In Deuteronomy chapter 13, God allows false prophets and false teachers to test us to see if we love them or not. He allows it. It shows where you really are, where you really stand with the Lord, if you will be swept away by that. But yet there is a temptation. That's why he says, don't let them mislead you. Don't let them deceive you. And what would be the temptation? Things are getting worse and worse, but they can bring peace and safety, can't they? Not true. The truth is God's wrath is coming and it's only getting worse. And some may even die for the Lord. Many will die. But yet God is sovereign. God is sovereign over it. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. So Jesus is saying right off the bat, do not let anyone deceive you saying they are the Christ. He's not going to come till the end of the tribulation in great glory. They are all false Christs. The reality is Satan's deceptive activity will increase in this portion. We see in 2 Corinthians 11 that he disguises himself as an angel of light. Many false Christs will arise. Look at the warning we see towards the end here in Matthew 24:23. Notice how this is really threaded into this passage. Therefore, if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go forth. Or behold, he is in the inner courts, do not believe them. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes from the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. He's saying he's going to come immediately with great glory. If they say he's here or there, they're lying. That's not what he's going to do. And he says, wherever the corpse is, the vulture gathers. Where there's death, the vulture gathers. These false prophets and their wicked ways among people who have rejected Christ, being led astray ultimately to their judgment. Now he continues. And notice he says back in the earlier portion of 24, it's going to be increased armed conflict and disasters that will come. Verse 6, and you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not the end yet. And folks, it just kills me as I study this that I remember parts in my childhood where there were these teachers I saw on TV, you know, that were saying there's going to be wars and rumors. We got more wars here. They're taking today and they're saying it applies to this. This is not from today. Yes, we got a lot of wars and rumors of wars, but this is for people in the tribulation, not for us. Don't be looking and saying, wow, there's earthquakes and famines. Christ must be coming soon. That's not what this passage is saying. This is for those in the tribulation time. We need to see it that way. And actually, the statement is very interesting. He says, you will begin, literally, you will begin to hear of wars and reports of wars. You're going to begin to hear, which sounds kind of interesting because in verse 7, he says, for a nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. This leads to the fact that I think Israel is going to be protected initially from these wars. They're going to hear about them. While nation is going against nation, Israel's going to hear about this. And they're going to be possibly disturbed. Notice what he says. And you will be hearing, or literally begin hearing, of wars and rumors of wars. Here's the command. Tribulation disciples, see to it you are not frightened or disturbed. For those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. Don't be disturbed when you hear these wars and rumors of wars. And you hear about earthquakes and famines. Don't be disturbed or dismayed. He says, why? These things must take place. God is sovereign over it. Don't be disturbed. A good, gracious God, who, although he is good, is pouring out his wrath. They must take place. They're going to take place. Don't let it throw you off. It is God's plan. It is his schedule. It must take place. Now, I wonder how this relates to verse 5 in terms of being led astray by false Christs. Folks, if you're frightened or worried about world events or things, you're going to be more susceptible to false teachers who come along to you and say peace and safety, aren't you? You're going to be more susceptible to those who will comfort your fears through false realities, not real realities, right? Through falsehood. The reality is that Jesus' wrath must come upon sin and sinners. And I just want to read just really quickly a couple passages. Isaiah 13, let's turn there. His wrath must come, and it will come. Isaiah 13, verse 6. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands will fall limp, and every man's heart will melt, and they will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. It's pretty serious. The day will come, it must come, when God's wrath comes upon this world. But we'll see these disciples are to be encouraged that it's supposed to come. It's going to come, but God's going to take care of them. If they endure to the end, they'll demonstrate they've truly been saved. Not endure physically, but endure in the faith, as we will see. He says, for stars of heaven will, and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will become dark and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and the base of the haughtiness of the ruthless. There's a lot of sin and God is going to eventually deal with it. But we see in 2 Peter, he's a gracious God, not willing that any should perish. He is delaying, but the day will come. Right now, this is the day of salvation. I'm praise the Lord, he hasn't come yet. He could have come when I didn't know him, and I deserved his wrath. But he graciously called me unto himself, and he's called, hopefully, all of you unto himself. The day is coming. It must take place, and it begins like this. These Jews, they're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. They're going to hear this. This is the signs of the coming of the end. They're going to hear it. There are going to be famines and earthquakes. This is in that 7-year tribulation. But notice what he says here. He explains, back to our passage. He explains it in verses 7 and 8, and we'll be done here. For nation, he's explaining, will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things, the things of these wars and the nations against nations and famines and earthquakes, all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. For every lady who has ever had a child, understanding the reality of pain during child, we have medical wonders right now where women don't have as much pain at times because of certain things, but the reality is that childbirth is painful and it begins with small pain that increases in intensity and frequency. And once it starts, the labor pains start, the labor is coming. And that's the point here. The time has started. Don't be afraid. It must happen. It has started. It's the beginning. It's the start of birth pangs. And as God pours out his wrath on the earth, the beginning is light and it increases till it is devastating for sin and sinners. We see, if you remember in Revelation 6, and you can see how I wanted to share so much today, but I can't. Revelation 6, those first seal judgments, not seals, but seals like on a piece of paper. Those first four seal judgments were all about wars and famines and pestilence and things like that. Things that the world could chalk up to just Mother Nature, quote unquote. But no, it is God bringing forth judgment. And he says these are the beginning of birth pangs. So what's the lesson for these tribulation believers? Jesus is commanding them, and he wants them to understand that they shouldn't be deceived and misled by false Christs. The temptation during that time will be to be misled. That they shouldn't be frightened. It must take place. And we're not in the tribulation, but brothers and sisters, as things get worse because of sin, we shouldn't be frightened. We shouldn't be frightened. God is in control. We shouldn't be frightened about the future of our nation. God is in control. We shouldn't be frightened about what might happen. Now here, God is saying it will happen, and he says, don't be frightened. God is in control. Don't be dismayed. Be on your guard from false prophets who say peace and safety when the opposite is true. God is pouring out his wrath. So then we see the beginning of his explanation concerning the tribulation for those who have placed their faith in him. It is merely the beginning of labor pains. It is going to increase in intensity and timing. So you say, Greg, I believe the word. I believe all that's being said here. But as you've stated many times, we won't go through the tribulation. By the way, I'm not a Jew. How does this apply to me? Well, first of all, the church will certainly not go through the tribulation. We're not destined for wrath. That's what God's word says. But we will have tribulation in this life. We will. It's guaranteed. We will have trouble. In Matthew chapter 6:34, Jesus says each day has enough trouble of its own, doesn't it, right? Do we have trouble? We certainly do, don't we? And some of that trouble can be scary. John chapter 15, turn there, and we're going to finish with John 15 and a portion of 16. Jesus says in verse 18 in John 15, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they'll keep yours also. We can be tempted when we know trouble is coming for following Christ. Even as I think about it, for my children, what will the world be like with people who hate Christ becoming more and more? You could be tempted to fear, right? Or be dismayed. No, don't fear. God is in control. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Although things may appear to be spiraling out of control, God is in control. God is in control of everything. He is sovereign over everything. Don't be fearful. Don't be frightened. In Him we have peace. God uses the difficulties of our lives to make us like Christ. Those horrible things which come about because of sin and Satan, He uses for good. We can count it all joy when we encounter these trials. We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Don't fear. Don't fight it. Trust Jesus. Now, there's some of you here who should be really frightened. You should be really frightened based on what God has said is going to happen. He's not going to allow sin to continue. He's patient that no one should perish. He has not brought His wrath yet, but He will bring His wrath. And if you reject Christ and this time comes, you will go into it. And you will experience His wrath. You'll experience tribulation such as the world has never, ever seen. And if you die before that time in your sins, you will experience His wrath and His judgment. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God hates sin, and He will deal with sin. And yet He did deal with sin. He sent His Son Jesus in His first coming to die for our sins. The second coming is not about saving from sin. It's about judgment, except for Israel. See to it that you are not afraid, not troubled.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, it's easy to get lost in all of the details and parables and word pictures and timelines of the end time. So how do we get it out of our head and into our heart?
You know, Dave, like I said several times in the message, we may perceive that things are out of control, that the world is about to implode or explode, and that evil's going to win. But the truth is that God is in control, even through the most terrifying and horrible circumstances. Now, we may not fully understand why He chooses to allow things to happen the way they do, but we always need to remember that He is not outmaneuvered or overpowered by Satan. He is sovereign over these events, and He is using man's evil to bring about good. So with this in mind, here's one takeaway from today. As you go through a difficult time, you might question God's timing or His love or His wisdom at that moment. I would encourage you not to ask why it's happening. Ask what? Lord God, what are You trying to show me? What are You trying to do in my life that I might become more like Your Son Jesus? What do You want me to learn from this? If you'll make the choice to say no to those why questions and ask the Lord what He is doing through these events in the context of His Word, you will find your heart and your thoughts directed back to the Lord. And this is where your hope and help truly comes from.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunsted, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.